So when we sit to meditate, I'm sure most of us are meditating on a regular basis. If we are not, there's something we can learn in this class. The main problem is the mind. Not only in meditation, the mind runs, but also throughout the day, most of our problems are related to the mind. Of course, there may be some physical problems, some financial problems, relationship problems, but ultimately everything comes down to mental disturbance. And stress seems to be the major problem these days. Everybody's stressed. Ask him, "What? How are you?" "I'm stressed." Too much stress, too much work, too much conflict, too much disagreements, too much physical, mental overwork, and all that leads to stress. Family situations, work situation, health situations. And so meditation is one of the best techniques to make the mind quiet and peaceful. And this peacefulness that you acquire in the morning when you sit for 20 or 30 minutes can be transferred to all your activities throughout the day. Once you have experienced that inner quietude of mind, then to go back into it is not that difficult. Abiding in it is difficult, which we'll talk about. So in chapter 19, we have two different kinds of scientists. One is the objective scientists who are telling us about the world, physics and chemistry and biology and zoology and astronomy and quantum physics and algebra and mathematics. Those are all the objective scientists, economists, and they have done a lot of good for us. They have made wonderful inventions. They have made life comfortable. You know, we can even 100 degrees heat, you know, we are relatively comfortable here. And we can get around. We have, you know, cars and trains and planes and buses and spaceships. And, you know, life has become much easier. But then there were other scientists whom we call as rishis or saints or monks who looked at the inner subject. All the other scientists show the objective world, world that I can see, I can hear, smell, taste, touch, experience, think about. But very few people talk about the inner self, the inner mind. And until you can calm the inner mind, no matter how many comforts you have, no matter how many pleasures you have, yes, they are necessary, comforts, pleasures, worldly possessions, but they cannot buy you happiness. To get inner peace and happiness, we have to work on the subject. And who is the subject? I, the subject, who is the experiencer of this world of objects, emotions, and thoughts. Just to briefly go over this chart, for there are some new people. So I think of myself as this BMI, the body, the mind, and the intellect. So with the body, I perceive the world of objects. I see, hear, smell, taste, touch. With the mind, I feel the emotions, joy, sorrow, hatred, anger. And with the intellect, I think the thoughts or concepts or ideas. So mind is emotions, intellect is ideas. And vasanas, or V, stands for desires, stands for tendencies, which I am born with. Each one of us is born with certain desires, and then we accumulate more throughout this life due to ignorance. So these are the tendencies which lead to desires. Like somebody has an alcoholic tendency. Somebody likes to play sports. Even from childhood, you know, they like to throw the football. Somebody likes to play music. Why? Because of their inherent vasanas or tendencies. And then Om is God. Om is God's presence within us. You can call it Krishna. You can call it Jesus, Buddha, Allah. It doesn't matter, but it is the life consciousness within us. So everybody talks about the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts. Very few people talk about who am I, the body, mind, and intellect, and even less talk about the Lord within, which is the ultimate, my true identity. My visible identity is this visible body, but each one of us is essentially divine. Each one of us has God's presence within us, and that very few people talk about. So we'll talk a little bit about that. So now let us see, we're talking about the mind. Mind is thoughts. Now how do thoughts arise? How do thoughts arise in my mind? So our rishis tell us that first of all, we have the tendency. We have an inherent tendency. As I said, somebody could be alcoholic, somebody inherently spiritual, somebody inherently active, somebody inherently, you know, passive. And this tendency arises from ignorance. As I mentioned, we all are that divinity. All of us have that divine self within us. But not knowing that, I think of myself as being this limited body, mind, and intellect. And that's what Jesus had said, the Father in heaven and I are one. He who had seen me had seen the Father. If you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father in heaven. And all of us are a manifestation of that same Father. The one who created Jesus created every one of us. So not knowing my true nature as the divinity, I get desires because I have the tendency. Remember, I have a tendency to drink or a tendency to play sports. So that creates a desire in my mind. Okay, I need to go out and get a drink, or I need to go out and earn money, or I need to go out and play sports or play music. So the desire in the intellect becomes thoughts in the mind, flow of thoughts, and thoughts lead to actions in the body. So ignorance and tendency leads to desire, leads to thoughts, leads to action. Like today we had this desire to study meditation. So the thought arose, okay, it's Thursday, 6:30, let me go. So from the desire came the thought, and from the thought came the action, where we drove here. So that is how actions arise. They arise out of the tendencies and then desires, thoughts, and actions. And all actions arise from that. Every action, whether it is a saint who is working in the world, you know, helping others, or there is whether it's a sinner who is stealing or hurting, all actions arise from desires and from thoughts. Now the question is, what kind of desires should we have? A saint does not have any selfish desires. He or she works spontaneously out of love for mankind. So their heart is just spontaneously overflowing with love. But you and I, we all work out of some individual desire. I want to accomplish something. I want to get something I don't have. So that is the cause of all thoughts and actions. We'll talk a little more about thoughts later on, but let us see how to purify and remove our ignorance, how to purify my desires, my tendencies, and how to remove my ignorance. So they say ignorance can only be removed by knowledge. So reading the books, going to a teacher, participating in discussions like this. So through right knowledge, I can remove my ignorance. So the ignorance of my divinity, we at this moment are ignorant of, but by reading the scriptures tell us you all are divine. Father in heaven is in every one of you. God is in every one of you. So through knowledge. And then how do I purify my desires and thoughts and actions? By unselfish action. So when I work unselfishly, when I work for the service of others, when I remove I and my and think about us, we all, then that attitude with which I work for helping others automatically purifies my desires, reduces my selfishness, reduces my desires, and purifies my actions. So how do we control these thoughts? See, I have too many thoughts, or I have too many desires, or I have too much work, too many actions. People work just without thinking, without any control. So they say control one, any of them, you can control all of them. Either you can control your ignorance by knowledge, or your desires, thoughts, and actions by unselfish work. And you can purify your mind. We'll talk about that later on. What is purification and what is an impure mind? So how do I control my ignorance? By knowledge. and by working for, and also reducing my desires, you know, because we find that there is no end to desires. You know, I have this car, then I have to get a next car. I have this house, I have to get the next house. I have this company, I have to get. We're not saying, we're not against progress, but our whole life is spent in acquiring, possessing, wanting, cheating others, getting. One has to develop an attitude of contentment, and that can only come by sharing. When I help others, when I work unselfishly, that helps my mind. Now, what is the mind? Mind, they say, is a flow of thoughts. Mind is a flow of thoughts. Just as a river is flow of water. Suppose there is no flowing water. There's just water stationary. You're not going to call that a river. That you may call it a pond or a lake or a swimming pool, but you're not going to call it a river. What is a river? River is a flow of water. So similarly, what is the mind? Mind is a flow of thoughts. When thoughts become still in deep meditation, especially with these yogis who can still their mind, then at that time they are in a state of no mind. When the thoughts go away, then such a person is said to have gone beyond the mind. And once you still the mind, then and only then can you experience God's presence within. Because it's the mind and the desires which are the obstacle. So what are the three problems in our thoughts? Quality, direction, and quantity. Just as in a river, what are the three problems that three situations that can happen here? Quality of the water. The water can be very dirty, you know, especially nowadays we find our waters are so polluted. So much, you know, dirt is being thrown, you know, in India, like the Ganges, which is the main river, considered holy, is so polluted because people are just throwing dirt into it. So the quality of the water can be dirty, or the direction, like it may go in a direction I do not want to, like the Sacramento River goes into the Pacific Ocean. And we do not want all the water to be wasted. The water should be directed south so it can irrigate the farms and give the people water to drink. So the direction can be wrong, or the quantity, like the Kern River now is so powerful, so much quantity of water. Unfortunately, people are dying because they are getting into the water. So it can be the quality of the water, the direction of the water, or the quantity of the water. So similarly, the mind, the flow of thoughts can be, the important things that we need to control is the quality of thoughts, the direction of thoughts, and the quantity of thoughts. So quality of thoughts can be controlled by remembering God. When you remember God, you chant the name of the Lord, it doesn't matter what name, whether it's Jesus or Buddha or Krishna or Shiva, it doesn't matter whether. Even just chanting Om, which is also God's name, but any name of God that you can chant and remember God, and remember God not just mechanically, but remember the form, how beautiful the form of the Lord is, and all the qualities. When you see Jesus, you remember love and compassion. When you see Shiva, you see him in meditation, or Buddha, he had so much compassion. You think about the saints and the gurus of India, how much love and compassion they had for all of us. So think of the Lord not only mechanically, not only chant mechanically, but think about the Lord's qualities, how kind, how compassionate, how loving. So by that, you can improve the quality of your thoughts. You can purify your thoughts. And then I have to develop that same love and compassion and kindness in me that is in the Lord. So that is the quality of the thoughts. The direction of the thoughts, through meditation, because in meditation we make an attempt that the mind that is running out into the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts should be quietened and turned inwards. So in meditation we change the direction of our thoughts, because we are all the time outward. What's my son doing? What's my grandson doing? What's my mother-in-law doing? Father-in-law, my house, my money, my job, all the time we are thinking outside. My computer, my cell phone. We wake up in the middle of the night, you know, we check our cell phone. Have I got any emails? You know, We never leave it. That's what the person says, you know, my spouse can leave me, it's okay, but I shouldn't lose my cell phone. All my contacts will be gone. So, so we are so attached to things and beings. So they said, get attached to the Lord. So from the diet, instead of getting attached to things and beings, get attached to the Lord who is not only in the church or temple or mosque, but who is within me as life, as consciousness, as the inner light. So direction from outward, change it inward. Now, how do we reduce the quantity of our thoughts? As we said, we wake up in the morning and our mind is racing 100 miles an hour. And what do? We take a strong cup of coffee, black. And what does that do? Does it help to slow down the mind? No, it gets it stimulated even more. And that's what we do throughout the day. Tea, coffee, all kinds of stimulants. And so the mind, actually, for me personally, what helped me the most, because I used to tell my teacher, Swami Ishwarananda, that my mind races in meditation, and he told me, give up caffeine. And about 7 or 8 years ago, I did that. And since then, I don't have caffeine. And I find my mind is much quieter. Also, of course, with practice of meditation and doing all the other things. But caffeine should be restricted, you know, to the bare minimum, because that is definitely increases the quantity of thoughts. Not only caffeine, any other stimulants, you know, all these energy drinks, you know, Red Bull and this Bull and that Bull, they're all Bull. You know, you have to, really, it's very, very harmful, you know, so these things should be reduced. Then the quantity of thoughts can also be reduced by, especially when you sit for meditation, systematically follow. So also the quantity of thoughts can be reduced by what you do throughout the day. Like if my day has been over busy and I've been stressed and I've been fighting with people and conflict and anger, then guess what? My sleep is going to be disturbed. When I wake up in the morning, I'm going to wake up with that anger, with that agitation. If I sit for meditation, all I will be thinking about is who he said this or she did this. So slow down. You know, unnecessary activity should be stopped. Unnecessary spending time with the computer, email. What is necessary to do, but what is unnecessary, avoid. Spend some time every day, half an hour, 1 hour, doing nothing. I'm not going to answer. Turn off your phone, turn off everything, and sit in your backyard and just enjoy the trees or the birds chirping or the sunset or watch the sunrise. Maybe go out and sit in a park. So spending time in silence and by myself is a very, very important way to reduce the quantity of thoughts. And before sleeping, I have always told people come and tell me I have trouble sleeping. It is because till the last minute, they are watching the screen. And the screen, whether it's TV or computer or laptop or your cell phone, is very stimulating to the brain. So at least for half an hour or so before you sleep, maybe an hour, turn off your cell phone, turn off your computer, your TV, read a book or listen to some good chants, some good music, soothing, or just sit and quietly do nothing. So that's how you reduce the quantity of thoughts, improve the quality of your sleep. Then we have meditation steps. I think those of you who are new, I will send you the email that has these meditation steps. Those who have been meditating here know that we practice certain steps, and that has to be done when you sit for meditation. You have to sit with your eyes closed, with your back erect, relax your body from head to toe, observe your breath, do some breathing exercises, chant the name of the Lord. So systematically, when you sit for meditation, otherwise some people just get up and sit and they say, okay, I want to quieten my mind. It's not going to happen. You have to, just as, you know, to solve any problem, any math problem, you have to go systematically to solve any computer problem or, you know, any kind of problem when you have, you go systematically. So similarly, to quieten the mind, you have to systematically follow the steps. Then they say chanting the name of the Lord, which in this chapter, the teacher has told us to chant the name of the Lord. And you can do it by having a picture of God or a statue in your house, or even Om. And then first visualize with the eyes closed, and then with the eyes, visualize with the eyes open. And then with the eyes closed, you should be able to visualize the form very, very clearly. And then start chanting first loudly, then whisper, and then go to the silent chanting within the mind. And you will find that even though you have been meditating for a long time, some days your mind will be quiet, some day it will be agitated. So this student went to his meditation teacher and says, "You know, teacher, my mind is so agitated, it runs. I sit and it just takes off, and I'm trying to control the mind. I'm trying to fight with the mind. I wake up with a headache. When I finish my meditation, my back is aching, my legs are tired." So teacher said, "It will pass." So he was very assured. So he went home and continued to meditate. And 2 weeks later, he goes to the teacher. "Teacher, I'm so happy." He said, "What happened?" He said, "Now my mind is so quiet. My meditation is good. And I feel connected to God. I feel so good." Teacher said, "It will pass." Even that won't last, because we should not get attached to a particular feeling, because it will happen. And depending on what you have done before, the day before. So what they say is that as you have been meditating for a longer period of time, what's going to happen is the mind will become still and you will experience an inner peace and silence. Those who have been meditating for a while, I'm sure, can vouch for that. There will be certain days when you have great silence, great peace. And that may last for a short while or may last longer. Without fighting it or without resisting or without forcefully, just abide in that silence, enjoy that peace. And what will happen is after a while, the mind again says, "Oh, wait a minute, why is this guy so quiet? Why is she silent?" Immediately the mind starts racing again. And if it happens without getting upset, you slowly bring the mind back to the Lord within. That's what in the 6th chapter of the Gita, Sri Krishna tells us. Whenever the mind runs out into the world, when you're sitting for meditation, quietly bring it back to the Lord's presence within. And with practice, what will happen is it will stay longer and longer. The inner peace and silence and joy. It's like you experience waves of joy that arise from within, which is, there's no reason. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Why am I happy? Because I have experienced the inner joy, the inner peace. And once you have experienced that, that's what in the Gita they tell us, then no matter what problems the world can throw at you, I can always go within and experience the Lord's presence. So the world cannot bother me once I have found the Lord within. And we find in the lives of these saints, they were tortured, they were persecuted, they were crucified, they were murdered. Everything was done to them, but they could not be shaken. Why? Because they had experienced the Lord's presence. And saints abide in that silence. They constantly are in the presence of the Lord. You and me, we may at moments experience that when we sit for meditation or when I listen to some good piece of music, or when I have read some good poetry, or I watch a beautiful sunrise or sunset, or watch the moon, then in that moment, you may experience that silence. But saints and the realized masters constantly live in that. And that is the difference between God and us, between them and us. So that is how we quieten the mind, practice the steps, live a life that is unselfish, slow down, do less, avoid unnecessary activities, and regular meditation will make you experience the inner peace. Now, there is a synonym here, which is for those who have been coming here for a while, I would like to, or even those who are new would like to attempt, I want people to tell me what they think about it. How do we translate it? So what is meditation? See, on the left side, we've written meditation, M-E-D-I-T-A-T-I-O-N. So Swami Ishwarananda, who is our teacher, who comes here, gave us this series of meaning. What is meditation? Mind engaged deeply in total awareness transcending its own nature. So maybe somebody wants to make an attempt. What does this mean?
What it means is that's the process of meditating, but meditation is not a verb. It's a being. It's a noun.
But what do you mean by engage deeply in total awareness, transcending its own nature? There are three things. Mind engaged deeply in total awareness, transcending its own nature. So there are three different sentences.
Okay.
And I want you to explain all three.
So the mind is
true nature. You're aware of your true nature, Om. Your true nature. That is what you're aware of at that time. You're not aware of the car going on the street or you know the radio in neighbor's house or the TV running. You're aware of the inner awareness. It's not the total awareness of the universe. It's awareness of myself. And then alone you can go beyond this BMI. Otherwise we are stuck in the BMI.
I understand this meditation, but I'm more trying to make connection how I use that on a regular daily basis.
Yeah, I'll try to answer that. I think in the sixth chapter Arjuna asks the same question. He says, I can control the wind moving, but I cannot control my mind. So the answer is practice and detachment. Practice. You know, I have been meditating regularly since 1995, so 22 years. And it's only the last few years that my meditation has, I don't know if you used the word improved, but I'm noticing the benefits of it. It's gradual. It's not that suddenly one day. But over the years, gradually you will start enjoying your meditation. You will get... So being patient with your mind and being patient with yourself. Meditation is not, it's like being medical school. How many years it took us? 25 years before you finish medical school. And then another 6 years of residency, fellowship. So it's almost 30 or 31 years of study before you can become a doctor or an engineer or a lawyer. And then to become a good doctor, good engineer, good lawyer takes another 5 to 10 years. So you're almost 40. So we are patient with that. Why? Because that is giving me a living. You know, I'm going to make money about it by becoming a doctor or engineer. But this we want result in 6 months. So be patient with yourself and you will notice the benefit. The more regularity and sincerity you show, that is very, very important. Regular, sincere meditation. And even if my mind is not quiet, I'm going to sit, number one. Number two, slowly, once you have experienced that joy, then that stays with you. The interval stays longer. It's like the example our guru gives is like these girls who are in India carry this pot on their head. You know, they go nowadays, of course, they don't do that. In the olden days, they used to go to the river and bring water. And while they are carrying the pot on their head, they are talking to each other, throwing stones and teasing each other and, you know, playing tricks on each other. But part of their mind is still attentive on the pot, so the pot doesn't fall. Sometimes they have 2 or 3 pots of water, but they're still able to play with each other, throw stones and throw sticks and, you know, just tease each other. Why? Because they're doing everything but their attention. So similarly, do everything in the world, but keep your attention on God. There is God within me. And you can take opportunities to remember, like put a little picture in your car, on your dashboard, in your kitchen, you know, have a little picture of God, have, you know, in your living room. So, and whenever you see, remember God. And so put, and then before you start your work, and as soon as you get out of bed, chant the name of the Lord. Before you leave your house, remember God. At the end of the day, before you go to bed, lie down and chant the name of So take every opportunity to remember when you see a beautiful sunrise or sunset or see a flower or tree or the wind rustling or the birds chirping or a child laughing. That is all God. That is all divinity. A sweet little innocent child, so cute. What is that? You see divinity right there. So the more you remember God, the more your mind gets established. And then slowly, slowly it will happen. It is like if the window is full of paint and dirt and black and all, it's not going to, if it's just mud, you can just wipe it off very easily. It depends on how many vasanas we have, how many lifetimes of tendencies we have. But if it is full of lot of dirt, it takes a while. You have to clean it. You have to put, alcohol or kerosene and clear and all these, cleaning agents to purify the window. So it's just be patient. But persistence is very important. Patience, persistence, regularity is very important. Okay. So I think most of you have answered it. Actually, I don't really need to add, because the mind that is at this moment is engaged deeply, and depth of meditation is very important. One has to go deep, because at the superficial level, you may experience some little joy, little peace, or little silence, or by chanting. So go deeper within that. Go deep within your mind. Go deep within, and you will understand what that depth is once you experience it. So go deeply, and meditation is not sleep. See, what happens is people, when they sit for meditation, when their mind becomes quiet, they fall asleep. And that is a very serious problem that happens to a lot of people. So I have to be alert, which means I should have had a good night's sleep. I should get up and wash my face, that way I'm fully awake. And I should be totally aware, as Tony was asking, not of the world, but of the inner self. And the more you practice, slowly when the mind becomes still, only when the mind becomes quiet, you will transcend the mind. As long as the mind is active, thinking, wanting, acquiring, possessing, it will be active. But the moment the mind becomes still, that's when you transcend the mind. And so what we recommend is to put your finger, the index and the middle finger, above, just above your eyebrows. And then use your right hand. And with the ring finger, you are controlling the left nostril. And with the thumb, you are controlling the right nostril. So close the right nostril with your thumb. Open the left nostril and 3 times breathe deep in and out. Breathe in and pause, and then breathe out and pause. So do that 3 times through the left nostril. Pause, breathe out. Pause, just a short pause. Now breathe in and then breathe out through the right nostril. Close your left nostril. Now breathe 3 times in and out through the right nostril. Same way. Slow, deep breaths with a pause. Now alternate, breathe in through the right, pause, and breathe out through the left. Now breathe in through the left, pause, and breathe out through the right. Do it 3 times, in through the right, out through the left, in through the left, out through the right. Do it 3 times, slow and deep. Now bring your hands down, and without closing the, just with your hands down, do the same thing. In through the left, out through the right, in through the right, and out through the left, with your hands down. Eyes remain closed. Relax your body from head to toe. Continue to breathe slow and deep, with full attention on the breath. Body is relaxed. Slow, deep breaths. Turn your attention inwards. Feel the inner divinity, the inner peace and silence. Continue to breathe deep, deep as the mind becomes quiet. You will experience the inner peace. If the mind wanders, go back to taking slow, deep breaths and bring the mind's attention here, now, into this room, and become aware of the Lord's presence within us. Let us practice that in silence for a few minutes.